Welcome to this edition of Thy Kingdom Come. This is episode 2, entitled An Encounter with God. And today we'll be taking our scripture from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 6 through 7. And it reads, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Today I'd like to talk about an encounter with God. During today's discussion, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What am I looking for? What is it that I'm waking up this morning to accomplish? And how much of that involves God? Truly ask yourself these questions. What am I looking for? Am I seeking God? Am I seeking him, or am I seeking what he can give me? What he can do for me? I've heard all the stories about the Santa Claus Jesus who jumped down chimneys and passed out blessings. Is this my image, my perception of God? Do I expect him to jump into my life whenever things are in an upheaval, whenever things don't go my way? Do I expect him to jump in and on a whim just fix everything? And I haven't devoted my life to him. I haven't sought after him. I haven't desired to please him in anything that I do. But now that everything in my life is in an uproar, now I'm religious. Now I want to pray. Now I want to seek his face, and I want him to move right now. God, this thing can't wait. My marriage is falling apart. I've been married 5 years, and it's falling apart. And yes, this is the first time I've prayed for you to intervene in my marriage, but I need you to move, and I need you to move before the end of the month. Show me a sign. Is this you? Is this your attitude towards God? So what happens when he doesn't answer? What happens when your prayers go unheard? Do you grow bitter towards God? Do you take the attitude that he must not be real because he didn't do what I asked him to do? We have to seek after God. Seeking him has to be part of our daily routine. Think back to the day that you met your spouse. For those of you who are married, and for those of you who have experienced puppy love, if you dated or courted a young lady or a young man during your teen years, think back to those times. Think about the things that you did to win their heart. Think about the amount of time that you dedicated trying to figure them out, trying to get to know them, to know what makes them tick. To know what makes them smile. Think about how much effort you put into getting their attention. Whether it was the famous note that you passed in class that says, "Do you like me? Check yes or no." Whether it was that sly move you made to gradually hold them by the hand while walking down the hallways of a school. Or those elaborate efforts where you bought flowers and cards and you went out of your way to carry her books, or you went out of the way to do things for this individual to get their undivided attention and let them know that I am interested in you. Now you think about all of those times, and you put those times on one side of the scale. Now let's think about how much you've pursued God. The scripture tells us that God wants a man after his own heart. The scripture talks about David being a man after God's heart. Now, traditionally, this is preached to say that David was a man who resembled the pattern of God's heart. But this is incorrect, because David was a man who had a heart that was willing to commit adultery, that was willing to cover up his act by committing murder. David's heart did not display or resemble a pattern of God's heart, but rather David was always in pursuit of God's heart. All of David's flaws, all of his mishaps, all of his screw-ups as king, as the anointed and the appointed leader over the people of Israel, in spite of everything that he did wrong, the one thing that David knew how to do was to seek God in the midst of it, to seek God beforehand. Even when he messed up in Psalms 51, David comes back and says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies." David acknowledged his sin, and he strived with God and said, "Lord, whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me." Have you ever messed up in a relationship and you were so terrified that the other person was going to walk out and leave you in the midst of your mess, and you pleaded and you begged with them and said, "Whatever you do, don't leave. I'll sleep on the couch for the next month. I'll do the dishes. I'll do the chores. If you're famous celebrities, you'll buy a $1 million ring. You know, but whatever you do, just don't leave. We can make this right. I know I've done wrong, but I don't want to lose you." Well, this is the same thing that David's doing. He's telling God, "God, you mean more to me than anything. And yes, I'm imperfect. I'm steady striving to be perfected. But in the meantime, God, the last thing I want is for you to walk out and leave me. I need you." In another verse, David says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock which is stronger than I." David says in Psalms that, "I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." David knew that the most important thing that he had was his relationship with God. Have you been seeking God? Have you been courting him? Have you been putting any effort into getting to know him? Well, let's see. When's the last time you read your Bible? And I'm not talking about the generic thumb through the pages and wherever it lands, that's what God wants me to read. But really digging in, getting to know him. Now, he's made it easy for us. A lot easier than a relationship that we're accustomed to with another human being. In no other relationship that you've ever been in has the individual put together for you a collective memoir of their life, accounting very specific qualities and characteristics about themselves. They have not provided you a documented hard copy of a record of their credibility and trustworthiness, but God has. Not only has he come to us, and not only is he standing at the door of our hearts, knocking, asking for a relationship with us, but he's also put together a record of his ability and willingness to be faithful and to be just and to forgive and to love in spite of sin and in spite of fault. He's given us a detailed record showing us that I got a track record of loving the unlovable, of reaching the unreachable, of saving the unsavable, of doing the impossible. But yet, some of us won't even take the time to pick up that record which he has left us so that we can get to know him. Some of us won't even devote 1 hour a day to try to find out more about the God who loved us enough to send his son to die for us, to die the death of a common thief, to die in between two thieves who deserved to die, but he was innocent, but yet he loved us enough that love drove him to the cross for us. And some of us don't even care enough to try to find out more about the man who loved me so much that he laid down his life for us. But we bent over backwards for companies to whom we are just another number. We bent over backwards for individuals who walk all over us and then walk out on us. How much is an encounter with God worth to you? Is it worth at least 5 minutes of your time a day? Is it worth an hour of your time a day? How much do you really want to get to know God? Are you just putting on a facade? Are you trying to fit in with the clique in your church? Are you trying to fit into a mold that your parents made for you as a child? Dragging you to church, forcing you to sing in the choir, forcing you to go to the Bible camp during the summer? Or do you really have a sincere desire to get to know God? Is it in your heart? If it is, then I challenge you today to seek the Lord while you still have time. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off another day because you don't have another minute promised to you. God is there. He's willing and ready to forgive. And he's standing at the door of your heart, knocking. And if any man, if any woman, if any child hears him knocking and cares enough to open the door, he'll come in. And he'll have sweet fellowship with you. He'll fill those empty voids in your heart and in your life. He'll fill it with goodness, with mercy, with truth, with love. And the peace of God will rest, rule, and abide in your heart. But you have to take the first step and seek him while he may be found. I hope you enjoyed this message today. As always, I pray that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, be ready, for the king and his kingdom is at hand.